You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, it's that wonderful time of the show again where we sit down with an amazing New Zealander and an amazing charity or group that's doing a good and important work in our community. And as listeners know, I've called it Community Gems, and we've had many, many over the last few months. And today is going to be no different. So I'm delighted to bring on to the show Mike Potter, who's the Chief Executive of Disability Connect. So Mike, good morning.
Kia ora, Simon.
How are you going?
I'm going well, thank you.
Brilliant. I have to say, listen, I've met Mike before. Amongst many things, Disability Connect runs a yearly expo called a Transition Expo in St. John's here in Auckland. I'll get Mike to talk about that more. But I thought before we get on to Disability Connect, Mike, your story is quite remarkable in itself. So as you were saying to me off air, anytime you come into a group or a meeting, you're asked to introduce yourself. So here's your chance on RCR.
Absolutely. And for the benefit of your RCR audience, and I always do this as much as I can. So my name is Mike. Kia ora. I have blonde hair, but it's rapidly going grey. I'm in my late 50s. I wear a pink shirt, but most of all, that's you can't see is that I'm sitting in a manual wheelchair. I came into the world of disability 16 years ago by virtue of an accident overseas. Threw my world upside down. I was married. I had two children. Ended up coming back overseas to New Zealand, and our world was upside down. We had to find a new house. We had to try and navigate life and try and, for me, to understand what this new body was like. Not so much the lack of walking, but the toilet stuff, the bathroom stuff is actually the major issue. But that through that, I entered the world of disability and came to see that disabled people and also their families are really impacted by a world that is not really designed for them to be able to function as well as they could. So I came back through this story. I'm married. I have two daughters. Part of that story, also when you get married, you marry a family. I have a brother-in-law who's in his 60s, who has an intellectual disability, and he's living in aged residential care, which he's been for 10 years. So aged residential care, he's been there when he's in his 50s, so not when he should be, but because he had to, because there was no other option. And that's Murray. He's my brother-in-law. My wife is Anne, and I have two daughters, Maddie and Ellen. Maddie, the oldest one, she has been diagnosed with social anxiety. She wants to be a vegan baker, but she really ticks all the markers for neurodiverse autism. You know, she loves to spend time in a room. She won't be like this. She won't come on a radio show. She won't say boo to people, but she'll have some close friends. But I have to talk to IRD. I have to talk to WINS. I have to talk to other people on the phone for her. And her younger sister, Ellen, has surface dyslexia, which means she's an absolutely beautiful person, looks fantastic. In fact, with both my daughters, you wouldn't know they have a disability. But she has very slow information processing. So it takes her longer to accept and understand things. So that's a little bit of my world. And it kind of, I've been at Disability Connect now for the past 5-6 years. I've been working in other NGOs in the past. And I took on this role knowing that I felt like I had a master's degree in disability studies. I was kind of at that level, like I know enough to be able to bring a voice. So Disability Connect, we're an information provider for disabled people and their families, primarily in Auckland, but we have a nationwide reach thanks to Zoom with the services that we offer, really trying to help disabled people and their families to navigate life. You mentioned our Transition Expo. It's our big event. It's the first Wednesday in September every year. And it's a place for people to find out, well, what's available in the community if I'm a disabled school leaver? What sort of jobs might I be able to undertake? How do I navigate transport? What about social services? What sort of sports can I do? What about the arts? What sort of community groups are open to me? What sort of things could I try? Because to have the best life possible, or enabling good lives, as we're often told, it's all about finding what do you like, what do you really enjoy doing, and how can you have a life that's devoted primarily to that?
Well, I could imagine, Mike, that for a lot of people who discover a disability, and you know, just sharing your own family's story, that's a really broad range of aspects, be it physicality like yourself who's in a wheelchair through to neurodiversity. But I imagine in some ways, particularly people who found themselves through an accident or otherwise, for example, knowing even what questions to ask, it must be quite formidable. So I assume that's where Disability Connect initially comes in. People are able to reach out and have these, I don't know, generous conversations to begin to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. There is an absolute fear around disability. There's no question about that. When you're looking at employment, it's much easier to employ someone who is transgender than it is to employ someone who's disabled. People feel more comfortable hiring people of difference if there's not so much fear with it. But a disabled person, there's kind of all these unknowns for people in terms of their experience. So there's that side to it. I've got an acquired disability, so people look at me sideways who have a disability because, I didn't have a disability from birth, but because my accident was overseas, originally I was under Ministry of Health for the first 6 months. So I do know what it's like to go to WINS. I do know what it's like to be on an accommodation supplement. I do know what it's like to wait in line and to just feel ashamed and awful. Because of the way that the system is. So there's a fear factor there. Yes, there's a shame factor there. The beauty of the Transition Expo, it's much like going to a Mariah or a Fono. You know, you go on there and it's a foreign country, but we make it as safe as possible. And you've been a couple of times and you know what it's like to experience this. You can come along and you get a bit of a sense of what this disability subculture is like. We're trying to take the fear away, particularly for employers. We welcome employers to come along. I'd love you to get in touch if that's you. If you're on a journey towards employing disabled people, you'd like to be able to do it, engage with some. Try and find out what some of these disabled school leavers, what sort of things they would like to do, what gifts and attributes they bring. Because as much as there's fear and shame, the other thing I've learned is the te ao Māori perspective of disability. They see disability is not, it's a cultural term that's come from very much a Western mindset. For Māori, they do not see that. They see differently advantaged. Hongi Hika's wife was his chief war strategist, Tūturi Tutuku. I hope I've got her name right. And she was blind, and she would go into war with him every battle. He insisted on it because she had this remarkable ability to sense what was going on because of her mind and her senses. So when we lose one sense, other senses take over and actually become better. And so we as a society miss out when disabled people who have these extraordinary talents and capabilities are not welcomed and able to be productive.
It's been one of the things that's actually long fascinated me, and I have to admit it's more on an academic sense. It's sort of the philosophy of language around this, because even when we use terms like disability, disadvantage, and so forth, I mean, at one level, I think society's trying to say, look, there is a difference, but at the same time, as you're expressing, just because there's a difference doesn't mean that it's less. And I think that's one of the faults we often, says me to you, Mike, society falls into, where actually people just express themselves differently. And my wife and I look after a number of people in the neurodiverse space, and they're amazing. I mean, at one level, they can be really quite quirky. But at the same time, the ability to do certain things, I'm thinking like mathematical, actually, in one example, they're amazing. Yep. It would take me ages. They just know it. It's just that differently abled aspect. But can I just draw you back to the Transition Expo? Because you're right, I've come along a few times. It's just such a wonderful space. Listeners need to envision a huge, huge hall or sports venue. It's just filled with different groups of people, as you say, offering support, but also all those supports that people in the disability community. We've had Kylie Black, for example, Mike, on the show before talking her journey. But, you know, there's an example of a woman with multiple challenges and yet set up her own business. And she's often at your expo along with others saying, here's some tools to be used.
Absolutely. The expo's doubled in size. So 5-6 years ago, we had about 50, 60 stallholders. We had 130 this year. And they're all organizations who have some intersection with the disability community in some way or want to. Watercare is there because you have a flat with disabled people in it, and their landlord, for whatever reason, is not fixing their water leak. And so someone from Watercare is coming there to be able to talk with disabled people to help them with some of their issues. Auckland Libraries has tripled the size of their stall because they've they've realised that actually libraries perform an incredibly important function for disabled people. It's a safe place to go to be able to, it's a quiet space often, but a place to actually learn more about the community and grow. And so there's a huge mix of government, non-government, community, very broad range, and anyone is welcome. It's primarily for disabled people, their families, for school leavers. We get SENCOs coming from schools and welcome them, but it's really helping the community to navigate life after school. You know, I've estimated the value of that day in terms of information is well over $500,000. It's just an amazing event when you think about the difference it will make to the lifetimes of all those who come and those who attend. We had about 1,200 attendees this year. It's the biggest in the country. It's the one in Auckland. But we're seeing these pop up in Northland and Christchurch and in Wellington now, and hopefully more around the country, because you need to know what's happening in your neighbourhood.
Well, it's a classic case, isn't it? You don't know what you don't know. And I suppose as a layman or someone from the outside looking at what you do, you're that conduit. And again, that generous, caring conduit, which allows people to not only understand what's happening to them, but to transition, in effect. Because I remember when I first met you, you took me for a coffee in Penrose, and quite deliberate on reflection, as you were navigating what is just normal streets for me and your good self in a wheelchair. And it's like, oh my God, even just crossing a busy road, which you were determined to do, again, to illustrate to me that you should be able to do it safely and easily. And I just think, for people to begin in depth of understanding, this is so important.
Absolutely. And government plays a critical role in that, right? Because they should be setting the agenda, painting a vision for us as to how disabled people are going to function in our society. One of the things that I've really understood in the last, 16 years since having a disability, is actually our health system's pretty good. I would have been dead 100 years ago by now, but thanks to health improvements with acquired disability, we're living longer. I've been told that I can live the same age as I would have without the accident, which is just amazing. But what's happened in the last 30 years, particularly our organisation has seen, is that when we started, which was 1991, it was a group of mums who were going up to hospital and supporting parents whose babies were born with a heart deficiency or some disability, and the babies were not coming out of hospital. 80-90% of them were not coming out. Since then, we've had NICU, we've had PICU, we've got all these wonderful maternity care services. And as a result, the children are not only coming out, but they're going to outlive their parents. And so right now, every special school in Auckland is full to capacity, and they have waiting lists, the demand and need. And what is going to happen, of course, is those children, if they're outliving their parents, what are the demands then in terms of places for them to have the best life possible? What's going to be the demands on our health system, which we can see is going to be ongoing and continuing? What are the implications then for our workforce and how we can embrace and encourage the diversity that a range of disability comes through? The CEO of Autism New Zealand told me that 39% of people have autism, based on their latest stats. That's diagnosed and undiagnosed, which is just very significant. So we need to be prepared, all of us, for a society where actually disability is the norm. We kind of moved on from where disability is these activists all railing on about actually life's unfair and it's unjust, and yes, it is, but actually we need to be moving towards a world where disability is the norm, and that the digital transformation we're seeing in society actually includes disabled people, that our transport systems, that our education, that healthcare is a huge shift. And at the moment, our government budgets don't reflect that. And that's where there's a major issue.
No, and I can see that, because we were talking just before we came on air about, those with disabilities living longer, and the, as you've articulated, the implications of that across a whole series of sectors. So do you think, it might come back to what we're discussing earlier around fear, but is there a hesitation, be it in governments or in other agencies, to discuss this or fully appreciate it? Is there something that we as society need to lead ourselves first and foremost?
It's really hard when it's not part of your lived experience. You know, nothing for us without us. You'll hear that constantly within the disability sector. But I think also the disability sector needs to be open, embracing and educating. Which you mentioned Kylie before, there's a number of great educators taking that out. But equally, I think the great challenge for everyone is to be able to build friendships with people of difference. And one way, which I find the best way, and I want to share it with you, is one simple question. What can I do for you? What would you like me to do for you? Would you like me to get you a cup of coffee? Would you like me to hold this rail for you? Would you like me to hold this door for you? Where is the power balance when I ask you that question, Simon? When I ask you, what would you like me to do for you? Where is the power balance?
It's definitely in the questioner, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I've asked the question to you. You now have the power to tell me yes or no. Or I would like a black coffee with sugar. Where is the power balance? And that's what we're really wanting society to do. But most of all, we'd love government to ask that question. What would you like me to do for you? It's such a powerful question because it is empowering. It's mana enhancing. It is about actually restoring. So taking people who are otherwise marginalized. I mean, you go through history, the great confinement, where the people were shut away, people of difference, people with disabilities, people with feeble-minded, lunatic asylums, all those kind of things. We're well past that now. You know, we're trying to move away from institutionalization and we're moving into society, into communities where disabled people exist. So we need to learn to ask that question. What would you like me to do for you? Learn someone's name. Ask them, what's been the highlight of your week? Or what are you looking forward to? Start a conversation. Because the more that we integrate and the more that we surround ourselves with people of difference, the better our society.
Which I think in itself is inspirational and says me to you, Mike. I mean, that's what you in your particular position, but what you represent for the whole Disability Connect are doing. So, I mean, if listeners want to engage with you, if they themselves have a disability and didn't know you existed, or there's friends or family they want to connect up, or there are people who want to support in some way, how do they get in touch with Disability Connect?
Well, the best way is probably through our website. It's disabilityconnect.org.nz. There's some drop-down links on there. We have a Zoom support meeting every Monday night at 7 o'clock. So if you're supporting a family member with a disability, you could be anywhere in the country. You can drop onto that link, go through, and every Monday night, there's someone there to listen and to support. Robin, I call her the amazing Robin Hoffman. She's an amazing mother of a daughter with a disability, Frisia, who's in residential care, but Robin understands the system. She can help and support. It's quite popular with a number of people. Go through the site. There's ways to be able to connect with us. Get our newsletter. Comes out every 2 weeks. It's very popular as well. Goes out to 3,800 families, about 1,800 to 2,000 professionals. It's got an open rate of 40%. It's what's new, what's happening, what's available, helping people to navigate. And you'd be delighted, Simon, that in your electorate just this week, we had Understanding Disability Supports. And we hosted that in Ōraki at the CAB. And there were about 25 people that came along. Some of them were people who are parents. Some were social workers, community workers, and others, all learning from Taikura Trust, which is our NASC in Auckland, and WINS, about how they actually navigate their supports to do a better job. So we're doing these things around Auckland. We're very keen to support communities to be the best place possible for disabled people, because ultimately, that's where disabled people belong, is in the community.
We are the community. Says me. I mean, there's in a sense no distinction. Obviously, there's differences in people, but we're all part of this community. And Mike, I just think what you're doing in Disability Connect is amazing. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Simon. Really appreciate your time and the opportunity to talk to everyone. Kia ora.
So that was Mike Potter. He's the Chief Executive of Disability Connect.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.